I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to the 78th Psalm as we read from the 78th Psalm, the first seven verses in the Pew Bible. It's on page 507. A Maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know, we come to this time of the year, every year, especially around here, with an emphasis on remembering, and we do so within our country. In the larger church calendar, can anyone tell me what yesterday was? It follows All Hallows' Eve. Yes, thank you. Several of you said All Saints' Day. A remembrance of those persons who have been saintly in their lives. Next week, we will remember God's action on our behalf in Jesus as we celebrate and remember with communion. In a few weeks, we will all be having Thanksgiving gatherings. And in the middle of all the turkey and dressing, the football games, and everything else, we will, I hope, recall God's blessings on us to gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. Of course, then we will begin preparing for that other major event that we celebrate at this time of the year, Christmas, and all the Christmas services from the first Sunday of Advent through Christmas Day, our hanging of the greens, bless you, Christmas programs, children, adults, and others. You know, all of these things have a very familiar feel to us. And most are readily talked about and taught. Although I must say the reason for Christmas almost gets lost in the postmodern rush that is our world today. However, I will tell you that I regularly encounter persons these days who have little true biblical literacy, very little understanding of biblical moral and ethical teachings. And it's not just among college students that I encounter these things. It's prevalent in many churches of all stripes as well. Many people want to follow the latest fad or make it really easy not only to become a church member, but also to come or not come to church, to these gatherings to which we are called. And oftentimes we end up turning different brands of Christianity into something very trite and very simple. And while I will admit that the first step may be somewhat simple, a truly deep religious and spiritual journey is anything but trite or trivial or easy. I not only find students, but I find others who really don't like reading the Old Testament. I even find some folks who don't like reading certain parts of the New Testament because they say, well, that's just ancient stuff. That's just old stuff. It's not relevant. Come join us in our Wednesday morning Bible studies, many of which have been from books of the Hebrew Scriptures. And over and over and over again, people say, you know, I was just getting ready to say, that's talking to us today. That's talking to us today. The psalmist understood this even in his day, that there were people who didn't really want to remember certain things in the past and certain teachings. He also knew that teaching the ancient things, the old things, the sayings, and here the text says the dark sayings from of old, was key if one was to have a deep religion and a deep relationship with God. And that often this is supplemented significantly by giving this in song. You know, we remember things a lot of times better when it's in song than we do when it's spoken to us, which makes it all the more important that our songs in times of worship contain good theology that challenges us to remember. Psalm 78 is just such a teaching ballad. In fact, if we were to read the whole psalm, it is a ballad to teach about not only Israel's history, but about God's faithfulness in all of this, and to teach how we are to act based on our religion. This ballad uses ancient traditions to remind the worshipers of religious lessons. Its purpose is to show and remind the adherents how God has worked both within and through Israel's history. And it serves as a reminder for you and me as to how God not only has worked within and through Israel's history, but how God has worked within and hopefully through the church's history as well. And though this psalm does speak of a problem with the Ephraimites, it also serves as an important reminder of the necessity to continue to teach the good, the bad, even the mundane. To teach the ancient traditions, traditions which are foundational to authentic, long-lasting religion, to authentic, long-lasting relationship with God and God's people. The psalmist opens actually with something that's very common in wisdom literature, a call to give ear to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. To incline your ears, the picture is someone who leans forward and turns their head because they want to catch every word that is given. And so he begins with this tone of wisdom literature, seeking to pass on what the earlier generation has heard and what the earlier generation has understood about God, about the deeds of God, to give that to the current generation. So give ear, incline your ears, is his way of saying pay close attention. Jesus in the New Testament, when he tells the parable of the soils. We call it the parable of the sower, but it's really not about the sower or the seed. It's about dirt and the different kinds of people represented in that dirt. He begins and ends that parable with the imperative, acuite, listen, pay attention, truly hear. And so the psalmist here is doing this at the beginning of this psalm. Pay attention, truly listen, because what follows is of extreme importance. As one commentator expresses, and I quote, "The sense or understanding of tradition is strong, and he will not knowingly depart from it, since his purpose is to instruct rather than entertain. Nor does he fail to state that his concern reaches beyond his immediate hearers to those who will, in their own way, pass the tradition along to their children and their children's children." End of quote. And that was written in 1957, by the way, that quote. So he says, give ear, listen, pay attention. And then he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. What is to follow is a comparison. And that's what a parable is. Parabole means to throw down or lay down beside. It's a story to compare things and to teach religious lessons. It's usually teaching about God, about the nature of God, the nature of humanity, or the expectations which God has. And so he says here, pay attention. I'm going to do some comparing here of the past generation with what God would have not only them, but would have you to do. I will utter dark sayings from of old. In this instance, the whole idea of the dark sayings may include some things that aren't so nice. That is the rebellion of God's people. But the dark sayings from of old really are lessons from the past. Things that we oftentimes like to push back in the dark because we're afraid we might learn something or we're afraid we might see what we're really like. He says, I will utter these things from of old, from the past. I'm reminded that those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it very often. And yet, how often do we try to push those things back into the dark? Oh, but that's ancient stuff. It has no relevance to us, right? Well, that's what a lot of folks thought, even back then, and that's what a lot of folks think today. But it's amazing how much we are like ancient peoples. How quickly we forget, and what slow learners we really are. It's amazing how much like them we are because we like to ignore just how much like them we are. Things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. Sound familiar? Some translations say, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Now, does it sound familiar? You know, the older I get, the smarter my parents become. And the smarter and smarter my father becomes, and he's not even on the earth any longer. We need to listen. To listen to the ancient things. Not to jump over them or to make them trite or trivial, but to study them. The psalmist continues with what is not just a commitment for those who understand the importance of continuing to tell, but it's also a challenge that he issues. A challenge to the current generation to prepare the future generation for the same challenge. We will not hide them, regardless of whether the teachings are good or the teachings are challenging or maybe show us where we fall short. Regardless of whether the teachings are difficult. We like to sanitize many of the teachings of Jesus, but Jesus says some really hard things. He says, we will not hide them, the ancient sayings, from the children. But how often are we guilty of seeking to hide our own religious traditions, our own thoughts and actions? Not just from society, but sometimes even in our own families, we seek to hide those things. But he says, we will tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. The teachings of old and the teachings of our experience. Glorious deeds literally here means praises in the Hebrew. The praises of the Lord and His might. And we're not just talking about hand raising, praise waving, but deeply experienced, even seriously sedate telling of what God has done for us, because it's made a difference within us and how we live. The small wonders as well as the great. So, what ancient things do we speak other than the praise of God? He says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. One commentator writes, there is no understanding either of their history or of their attempts to understand history apart from this. Take into account two basic considerations. First, that in going back to their origins, they always found God. A testimony. Second, that the law was established not to please the lawgiver, but to provide the people with a continuity explicit in an order of law. That is, life for the individual and the nation was not improvisation to meet an emergency. It was following the pattern God had given for His people. End of quote. Yes, sometimes life throws us curves and we have to be light on our feet. But the law and the teachings are given not so that God can say, hey, look at what I gave you. But rather the law and the teachings, these ancient things are given so that our lives are not just moving from one crisis to another, improvising as we go. But rather there's a pattern to what we think and to what we do. And in harmony with God. The psalmist continues both the commitment and the challenge in these verses. He established a decree in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Why? That the next generation might know them, and even the children unborn. The psalmist challenges from father to children and from those children to their children. The children, even not yet born. We should set our hope in God, he says, so that they may set their hope in God, in verse 7, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We should not only set our hope in God, but we should keep God's commandments in such a way that our children and our children's children also have that hope. Hope is found both in keeping the ancient traditions and in teaching them to all generations. These old things are anything but trivial. And to delve into their depths is not just rambling around in ancient ruins. It is seeking to understand the foundation and grow in those foundations in such a way as to make a difference in our own lives and a difference in the lives of our children and our children's children, even to the last generation, in the lives of all those students that we have in Sunday school, all those students we teach and send off to other places, just as we are called and sent into the world for the good of the world. Oh, but that's ancient. Yes, but it's also foundational for a deeply religious life with God and with those around us. May we pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the ancient teachings, because they come from you, because they are the things upon which life is founded, if that life is truly to be lived worthily. So many times we fail, and yet you continue to teach us. Give us open hearts and open minds, that we might understand afresh and anew the old teachings that lead us to you, that we might share them with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is hymn number 406, Wonderful Words of Life. As we stand and as we sing, may we remember that indeed we get wonderful words that bring us life, even in the ancient teachings. Our altar is open. Number 406, Wonderful Words of Life.